All right, I've got the last message. Craig already brought up my intro to one extent. I want to talk about Ruth for just a moment. Actually, not so much Ruth, but Naomi. So in Ruth 1 verse 20, in 1:19, so the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." So here we see someone who decided to change their name, their label. Naomi meant pleasant, but Mara means bitter. And because of the events that Naomi had to go through, she decided to change her name to that of bitter. The reality is, as we go through the rest of the story, we find out she jumped the gun. She thought God had maybe abandoned her, forgot about her, or was dealing bitterly with her. No, he had something so much bigger in motion, and he wanted to include her in it. She didn't like all the elements that involved her. But we find out when we go over to Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then they came together, and the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has bore him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse." Who was the son of Jesse? David. The line of our Messiah. A name or a label shows relationship to something. Sometimes an event. Naomi chose to label herself based upon events. Sometimes it's in a relationship with humans. I have the label of father. I have three sons. I have Craig was talking about the relationship of spouses. I have the label of husband. I have a wonderful wife over here. Aunts, uncles, grandpas, grandfathers, all bunch of labels. Think about the names that you have been labeled with, either by yourself or by others. What about your classmates? What did they label you? About your coworkers, your neighbors? How did they label you? About yourself, how do you label yourself? What about Satan? Has he put a label on you that you accepted? Some have chosen to accept his labels of, "I'm ugly, I'm worthless, I'm weak." So what names are we wearing outwardly? What names are we wearing proudly for all to see? And what names do we try to hide? What about the name that God chose for us? Let's go to Numbers 6:22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." It's jump back to Ephesians 1 and verse 4. See what Paul says about this. Ephesians 1 verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, our Messiah, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. Our greatest name, our greatest label is son or daughter of God, Jehovah, the great almighty creator. How often do we wear that label? Outwardly. Because a name shows relationship. True relationship, and Craig was talking about this, requires action. So when I say wear it outwardly, do our actions, do our words consistently, constantly show our label? The label that we'd want to be shown. Here, about 3 weeks ago, Lori and I got to take a trip, just the two of us, for a couple of days. And one evening, we got to go out to a nicer restaurant. We kind of look forward to, you know, things like that every now and then. And as we get there, we get out of the car and, you know, basically out in front of the car while we meet together, and Lori grabs my hand. We walk up hand in hand. We do that quite often when we're walking across parking lots and things like that. As we were doing that, what label do you think people put on us that happen to be seeing us? We're a couple, right? Probably married. If they're close enough, they can see a ring on our left hand. They assume that we're spouses, right? Not somebody else's, I hope. We were showing outward signs of affection for each other. We're showing actions of love of our relationship. We get inside the restaurant and it was busy. We had to wait a little while. And Lori and I are very diligent in this. Before we got our food, we prayed over our meal. We don't make a big scene, but we bow our heads, we hold hands, and we pray over our food. About halfway through the meal, a couple I think that were probably maybe in their mid to late 20s got sat down across from us. And right away I picked up that, I think they're on a date. Because they were enjoying each other's company, but there wasn't a lot of physical demonstrations of relationship. And Lori had to get up and go to the restroom. And while she was gone, I saw something that's sadly very unusual. I saw the female, for the first time, put her hand on the table and kind of towards him. He obviously knew what was about to happen because he took his hand, and instead of grabbing her hand, he put his fingers on top of her wrist. A big sign there, right? And then they both bowed their heads and she prayed over their meal. It's like, wow, that's awesome to see that. So what labels were put on them by the people that witnessed that? What did they just do? They showed an action of love, right? To whom? Their Father in heaven. An outward act of love. Father, we don't care who's watching, what they're going to think. We want to include you right now. They were confident about their name tags. And they set an example for others all around them to maybe start wearing their name tags. Philippians 1, verse 27. Paul says, "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one man, with one mind, for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is the evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing." We are to be examples all the time. What becomes of our relationship, not just with each other, but especially our relationship with God, if we don't show our outward signs of affections? Going back to the restaurant, I told you how me and Lori approached the restaurant, hand in hand, right? What would have happened if halfway through that parking lot, I turned to Lori and kind of shook her hand away and said, "There's a bunch of people watching this right now. This is very uncomfortable. This is awkward. I just don't want to do this right now. Would you just walk a couple steps behind me and let's just get in there?" Don't answer. Why is it we know what another human being is going to feel or act in that situation? But how often do we consider how God feels when we do the same thing? So point blank, how many of you are comfortable praying in a restaurant? Not sometimes, all the time, every time, set an example for all believers. You know, often we are around people who place very strong labels upon themselves. The label of, "I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a Sabbath keeper. I'm a Torah keeper. I'm a follower of Christ." But they don't pray over a meal. How does that happen? And we can't go looking for excuses. One of them is, there's a scripture that says I'm to pray in my closet, my prayer closet, privately. I got news for you. There's something else you're not doing. You're not reading your entire Bible. You need to start doing that, because Christ, when he's fed the 5,000, did what? He prayed over the fish and loaves, and then they multiplied. And he prayed in front of the 5,000. He showed an outward act towards his Father. As Christians, have we read our Bible cover to cover? If not, are we worthy of being called even a Christian? Because that's an outward sign of our love towards God. If we truly love him, wouldn't we read his entire word? Not once, but keep reading it. Not just for the sections you like or think you want, the whole thing. If we're a child of God, is our very first waking moment every morning in prayer with him, thanking him for the new day, and asking what he would have us do with that day, rather than telling him what we're going to do. Doesn't matter if you have a job. Doesn't matter if you have to get to the barber. Doesn't matter if the school has something going on. What is it he would have you do? He'll bless those other things. He'll take care of those. Sabbath keeper. How many of us know people that attend a Sabbath-keeping group but still are not keeping God's Sabbath? They haven't went to their employer and said, I have to ask a favor of you. I have to start taking time off every Sabbath. And then let God bless that. As a Torah keeper, how many of us tithe and keep and give offerings and first fruits? Again, if you read your entire Bible, we'll find out that we don't have to have the Levites. Yes, they played a substantial role in those aspects. But if you want to show your father an outward sign, you'll give offerings, first fruits, and tithes. Do we love and forgive as our Messiah did? Not all the time, or not sometimes, but all the time. The guy that cut us off. I struggle in this area. Often. Okay, back to the restaurant. As Lori and our meal got done, we got up to leave. I went over to the couple. I apologize for the interruption, but I thanked them. I said, I noticed you prayed over your food. I said, I really appreciate you doing that outwardly, because you and I both all know, with the three of us know, that in this restaurant, there's quite a few people that would call themselves Christians. And I only saw your table bow their head. And I said, thank you for being a good example. And they were just dumbstruck. They didn't know I'd seen. And then they thanked me, and we parted. But I did ask him a question. I said, can you imagine what would happen if every single table in this restaurant would have did what you did? How would have our world changed? And they said, wow, that's a good point. So what would happen if the entire body, the bride, prayed outwardly, kept the Sabbaths, kept the holy days, tithe, forgave, were strong examples at every opportunity? What would happen? In 2010, some of you know the story, God tapped me on the shoulder firmly and said, this is your time. You need to make a decision. Are you in or out? And I chose in 100%. The next morning, I knew I had to start praying daily. Didn't really know the best way to go about it, but I started doing it. Lori didn't know what was going on because I still didn't have words to tell her what had just happened to me. But for the next few days, she's watching me diligently get up every morning, literally the moment I wake up, and get on my hands and knees. I didn't know how she's going to respond to this new situation in my life, which is going to affect her greatly. And a handful of days later, I come out of the bathroom one day, and again, I haven't talked to her about what's happened to me. And she's kneeling at the bedside. Simply my example had encouraged her is to start doing the same. Our family was transformed huge through this. We may not be, Lori and I may not be the best example as a married couple, but as a married couple, we love our Father. We turn to Him as often as we can think of. What do we do next, Father? What would you have us do? How would you have it? What do you want us to say? Will you take care of this situation? Because we don't know how to do it. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 11. You should know this by heart. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. He has given each of us his name. How often do we wear it proudly? Or is it occasionally? We need to encourage one another to walk away from the worldly views and ways of things and truly glorify our Father by utilizing the brain and the body He created us with as an example to remind the world of His likeness. Send up in Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. We haven't been given simply a name, but a relationship, an intimate relationship with our Father. Don't take that name in vain by refusing to show outward signs of affection towards Him at every opportunity, and encourage others to do the same.